Item number seven, this is a briefing and public hearing. North of Falcon Policy, briefing and public hearing. So Kyle, I will let you take over, sir.
Good afternoon, Chair Smith, Commissioners. I am Kyle Eddix. I'm the Intergovernmental Salmon Manager with the Fish Program. I'm here today to give you a briefing on your North of Falcon policy, 3608. The policy in effect now, like its predecessors, is a two-year policy that's set to expire on December 31st of this year. So today I'll be just giving you a briefing on the current policy, talking about potential modifications for a new policy for 2017. Outlining the process for considering a new policy and potentially adopting it, and seeking your guidance on if you'd like to see changes to the plan for adopting the policy or a draft policy. I'm sure you all know in general what the North of Falcon process is. It's the process where the department engages with other agencies, the co-managers around the state, to set salmon fisheries north of Cape Falcon, Oregon. The policy in effect now gives us a lot of guidance. The first portion tells us to ensure that our management decisions are consistent with a long list of things, including our statutory authority, the legal framework of the U.S. v. Oregon and U.S. v. Washington court cases, the Endangered Species Act, the Puget Sound Chinook Harvest Management Plan, the Pacific Salmon Treaty, the Pacific Fishery Management Council's Framework Salmon Management Plan for Ocean Fisheries, any applicable state and tribal agreements, and of course with the Fish and Wildlife Commission's policies. The policy gives us guidance in a number of areas, conservation principles, how to provide harvest opportunity, how to conduct in-season management, what we need from our monitoring and sampling programs, our enforcement and compliance programs, how to deal with gear and fishery conflicts, incidental mortalities, and one of the tough ones for us is always communications. One of the overarching principles of the policy is that we will implement it consistent with the 21st Century Salmon and Steelhead Initiative. That means that management will be science-based, well-documented, transparent, well-communicated, and accountable. It also says that management will meet or exceed ESA, recovery, and conservation goals. Moving into some of the specifics, when providing fishing opportunities, we're to provide opportunities where they can be directed at healthy wild and hatchery stocks. We're to utilize selective method and gears to maximize fishing opportunity and minimize impacts on depressed stocks. And from a statewide perspective, harvest opportunity will not be exclusively reserved for either sport or commercial users. For recreational fisheries, we're to distribute opportunities equitably across fishing areas and reflect the diverse interests of fishers. We're to consider retention and catch and release fisheries. The policy's changed a little over time as you guys have set new policies for specific areas, but there's still some specifics for Puget Sound in the policy. For sockeye, chum, and pink, which are predominantly Puget Sound species, the majority of harvest for Fraser origin chum, pink, and sockeye, and for Puget Sound origin chum will be provided to commercial fisheries. For pinks from Puget Sound, we'll set seasons to provide meaningful opportunities for recreational and commercial users while minimizing gear and fishery conflicts. And there's a specific for Lake Washington sockeye that the first 200,000 sockeye available for non-treaty harvest will be provided to recreational fisheries. I think as you heard from Ryan earlier, it's been a while since we've had any fishery and not likely to have more than 200,000 for non-treaty users. For Puget Sound Chinook and Coho salmon, we've got objectives in priority order. First is to provide recreational fishing opportunities distributed equitably across fishing areas, and then to identify and provide opportunities for commercial harvest. The policy then moves into some of the other regions of the state. For Grays Harbor, it just points to your Grays Harbor policy. For the Columbia River, it points to your commission policy on Columbia River salmon management. For Willapa Bay, when the current policy was implemented, there was not a Willapa Bay policy, but it directed us to look at that policy once it was completed. And for the Pacific Ocean, we're to manage consistent with the Pacific Council's Framework Salmon Management Plan. For in-season management, we're told that in-season management will be implemented consistent with the preseason conservation and harvest management objectives and the intent developed through the North of Falcon process. For monitoring and sampling, we're to provide programs that will account for species and population impacts of all fisheries, and we're to require fishery participants to comply with our fishery monitoring. For enforcement and compliance, we're to have strategies that are developed and staffing provided to promote compliance, and we're to establish and maintain effective coordination with tribal enforcement. For gear and fishery conflicts, we're to structure fisheries that will minimize gear and other fishery conflicts. And then if we do see conflicts arise that we didn't anticipate ahead of time, we're to resolve those by involving the appropriate sport and commercial representatives in a dispute resolution process managed by the department. Incidental mortalities, we're just directed to minimize mortalities on non-target species such as rockfish and seabirds, and for seabirds to limit mortalities consistent with the Federal Migratory Bird Treaty Act. Communications, as I said, is one we never can seem to do enough on. We're to make ongoing improvements for effective public involvement during the North of Falcon planning process and fishery implementation. Specifics are we're to include participants as observers during appropriate state tribal meetings. Those of you that are involved know we try to do this every year, but it's ultimately not up to us whether that happens. We're to record decisions in writing, use a variety of tools to communicate effectively, and to consult with our stakeholders prior to making major decisions with our co-managers. Finally, the policy delegates authority to the director to make harvest agreements with the treaty tribes and other agencies and to adopt permanent and emergency regulations resulting from those agreements. The only potential modification that staff has identified is just to incorporate the Willapa Bay policy that has been implemented since the last North of Falcon policy, and we'll be looking to you for guidance on other changes you might want to see to a draft policy. So the schedule as it stands today is this briefing today and getting your guidance. We'll be taking public comment as well. We'll be setting up online public comment between now and the next meeting. We'll be having meetings with stakeholders over the next couple months that normally occur this time of year, using those to get the word out that the policy is under consideration and that we're accepting comments. We'll be back in December with the revised draft policy based on input we get today and to bring you public comment that we've heard, take additional public comment at that time, and then in January, you would be considering adopting a revised policy. So, as I said, the current policy expires at the end of this year. Looking for guidance from you to answer questions if I can.
Thank you, Kyle. Questions from the commission? We do have, are you ready for public comment then?
Sure.
You're done? Okay. We do have two folks, and Pat, I know you know the process. Brian, it says that you're new to the process, but you get 3 minutes, then you'll hear a beeper, and okay, then your chair gets ejected, and you know. So Patrick and Brian.
Good afternoon, Chair Smith, Commissioners, and Director Unsworth. Thank you for the opportunity to comment on the North of Falcon policy of the Fish and Wildlife Commission. I have a history with the North of Falcon process, and that's part of the basis for my interest in commenting and making a recommendation. The other reason or basis for my comments is since retiring from the Department of Fish and Wildlife, and specifically last year, 2016, I have participated in the North of Falcon process as a member of the general citizenry and also representing recreational fishery interests. So I, based on those, that long history and the recent history, I'd like to make a recommendation regarding the in-season management component of the North of Falcon policy. This is in-season management of salmon fisheries in Puget Sound specifically, is, well, it's just gone through a kind of a rough year. That is an unusual year from the perspective of preseason planning. The crisis for coho in particular caused very severe and very restricted fisheries, opportunities for sport fisheries in particular, and as well as in the marine environment and the pre-terminal fisheries and in the terminal fisheries and for the tribes as well. But the interesting part of last year was how much the perspective of the crisis changed as the fish actually returned. And so it caused an implementation of in-season management, and there was a bit of stress on the system. One of the interesting aspects of in-season management from the recreational perspective is that it's a double-edged sword. The recreational fishery really counts on the ability to plan recreational opportunities. Sport fishers like to see a publication of a season, and they expect that it'll be open when it says it is. They don't like changes. However, if those changes might increase their opportunity, they do tend to like those. And last year, there was only one way to go, and that was for more opportunity. So there was a high interest in that. And I felt that, I feel that, in summary, we were somewhat caught off guard, we meaning the broad community of the managers and the citizenry. So I have a recommendation. And part of the recommendation is to make a change. Maybe it's a not so subtle change, but a minor change. But it's a change that makes a connection to history. It is based on the agreements that already exist in Puget Sound. So it's specific to Puget Sound. And I have a handout of this. I hope that you have copies of it. But I recommend that there be an addition to the in-season management portion of this, which states right now, when in-season management actions are taken, they will be implemented in a manner that's consistent with pre-season conservation, harvest management objectives, and the fishery intent developed through the North of Falcon process. I don't feel like there's enough detail there. I recommend the addition of language prior to use, in-season updates of stock abundance affecting Puget Sound fisheries will be evaluated for technical merit and the potential to improve the achievement of conservation and allocation objectives. In-season updates will be documented during the pre-season planning process within the co-manager's annual list of agreed fisheries or as part of regional co-manager MOUs. So the connection here is first one to the Puget Sound Salmon Management Plan, which was adopted by the federal court in 1985, 31 years ago. The essence of the address of in-season management there is a recognition of uncertainty, high degree of uncertainty, and that it's that the ultimate goal of the preseason planning process is to develop fisheries, a management strategy that's acceptable to all the parties, jointly developed, and has a reliance on preseason planning. It calls for that management plan, calls for, and this is not just the Puget Sound Chinook Salmon Management Plan, this is for all species, it calls for preseason reports as a way to ensure that once seasons start, that there's consistency between planning and the outcomes. And this is a description that's in that plan for one of the reports that's required by that plan, that adopted federal court plan, a description of the quantitative methods to be used or models to be used for in-season run size estimation, the data or other information on which these models are based, the quantitative indications of the reliability of the models, expected impacts on escapements and or allocations, and limitations on the use of the models. This is something that, well, you could say that it's important how history, how likely we could repeat ourselves and go over already plowed ground. We, in the 1980s and 70s, when I started my career, worked intensively with in-season management. the primary application was in terminal area fisheries. And at that time, the state, the non-tribal fisheries, were very large and very active and matched up with tribal fisheries and terminal areas. So it was written primarily for that. Most of those non-treaty fisheries are gone. What remains is a very small amount of fishing impact in freshwater fisheries. And most of, for example, Coho and Chinook, most of the impact, the economic importance, and the opportunities in marine fisheries. If you look at the list of agreed fisheries from last year, and there are some excerpts in what I provided to the commission here today. For example, in Lake Washington, there's a reference there for coho fisheries opening if the run is projected to be more than 10,000 fish. But it's noteworthy that it's only in the section of the list of agreed fisheries pertaining to the tribal net fisheries. There is no reference to in-season management for any sport fisheries in any of these terminal areas or for marine fisheries. So there is a need to find a rebalancing, and I believe that the document of list of agreed fisheries is a very useful tool for the public, and it's a very useful tool for all the managers to hold each other's feet to the fire, to follow through. It's consistent with the existing language in the North of Falcon policy, but adding this section would hope cause the managers to be more vigorous and effective, in particular in conveying the intent to the public so that the public understands. Public communication, that aspect of the Commission's North of Falcon policy is very important. I'm not making recommendations for change there, but be consistent with that. I'll stop there and thank you very much. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer those.
Thank you, Pat, very much. Any questions? Yes, Commissioner Carpenter.
I guess I'd say personally I appreciate some of the historical perspective related back to the Puget Sound Chinook Harvest Management Plan. I've been kind of around this arena for a long time, and hearing that again is kind of refreshing and bringing forward some things that probably didn't know or didn't remember. So from that perspective, thank you, Pat.
Any further questions? Thank you, Pat. Very informative. Brian?
As I said, this is my first time, and my first comment is that you may want to call maintenance. The 3-minute ejector seat on my left may not be functioning right. So, Pat is super experienced, and I'm going to bring a decidedly opposite side to that. If anything, this may come off as naive, and maybe that's actually good. I feel like co-management at this point is at a crossroads, and without action, I think the cracks that appeared in last season are going to widen and threaten the entire vision of co-management. I'm here to advocate that this year, especially with the opportunity we have, that we renew a mutual commitment to co-management before we enter North of Falcon with the tribes. In particular, I feel like the thing we have to strengthen with co-management is to ensure a process that will guarantee us cooperatively built seasons emerging from the process. Specifically, as an outsider who doesn't participate, it feels like without schedules and deliverables that are adhered to, and without a workable dispute resolution process incorporated in voluntarily by both sides, there cannot be a process that's going to survive next year. I think we need to mutually agree to bind ourselves to this kind of a process, because without that, we are going to fail to work together, and we are going to see the process that has served us well for 30 years, mostly, fall apart. I am assured that I am not the first person to suggest something like this. I'm not naive. This is going to be challenging to do, but this is where you guys come in. We, the citizens, need you to reach out. And who should you reach out to? Well, clearly you should reach out to the tribes. You should explore, and I'm sure you have, the legal and judicial opportunities that are available. You should work with the involved state and federal agencies to make sure they're as committed to co-management as I think we need to be. You should encourage the governor to be involved in a way that compels this behavior. And finally, you should reach out to our congressional delegations, who all of whom we all got the letters with their at the end of last year when this fell apart, saying how committed they were to co-management. Well, it's time for us to ask them to help us along this path. We need them, and you guys are the people who I think have to advocate this. We need them to step up, again, the agencies, the politicians, politically to step up, legally to step up, even publicly to step up and add the elements to North of Falcon that will ensure that we end up with co-managed seasons. It needs that in order to survive and thrive. I believe it will fail without that kind of commitment from both sides. Finally, two other small things. Let's ensure that 2017 is the most prepared we, the state, have been entering North of Falcon in years. I feel like we were playing a little bit of defense in 2016 when the coho seasons ended up being quite different than we expected. To borrow a famous phrase, let's let the separation be in the 2017 preparation this year. The second point is I certainly would echo some of what Pat said. I would encourage you guys to direct staff to continue to elevate discussions in and around in-season management for next year. And that's it. That's all I've got.
Thank you, Brian. Excellent points, and timing is appropriate.
I didn't get ejected.
You know, you didn't get ejected. No, I didn't mean that timing. I mean the timing of your points were good.
Yeah,
because
I should ask, are there any questions or anything? I don't really think so, but okay. Good. Thanks very much.
Thank you. And thank you, Pat. Okay, that, yes, oh, there is.
Specifically, I have a question for him, but to kind of follow up on his testimony there.
You can,
I know the director and maybe Kevin has some comments. You have been laying some groundwork with our co-managers. Could you talk a little bit about that? And what role do you see for the commission, if any, in what was raised in this testimony?
Well, I think... Thanks for the comments, and yeah, Kyle can help back me up on this. I think this year, excuse me, I have candy in my mouth. We've done a few things differently, and we're going to have a presentation here shortly about the permitting process and what we're doing a little bit differently this year than last year, and hopefully we'll be more prepared in that part of this negotiation, and that will be taken off the table maybe, which was a bit of a... not necessarily a sticking point, but it complicated things last year a bit. This year, you know, I think we've been reaching out. I don't know if more is really correct. We tried always, I've only been involved in this 2 years really, but we all always commit to starting earlier and trying to work on objectives earlier. We did some of that last year, but it's never quite as easy as one would think to schedule the meetings and actually get people to the table and make it all happen. But I think we're all committed, and I do have a feeling this year from the Northwest Indian Fish Commission and individual tribal members that no one appreciated the process last year or the outcomes. And I get a strong feeling that people in general would like to work more closely together this year and do what we can to assure that it doesn't happen again. Some of your suggestions on problem solving and I think are good ones. And certainly we should consider all the things you said. Generally, you had some great ideas.
Yeah, I think if I had anything to say, I'd say I think the critical part is that all the parties should be, I think, compelled to renew their commitment publicly in advance. And if that commitment can involve binding yourselves for a year to a process which says, hey, we're going to meet our schedules and we're going to agree to a reasonable dispute resolution process, then I think everybody understands you're going to emerge with seasons coming out of North of Falcon. And I think it's hard to argue for any of the participants that they're supportive of North of Falcon and would be against deciding, hey, let's actually renew our commitments in these ways to assure that it's successful, even if it's only for a year. I understand the permits aren't going to be a factor, and that sort of feels like the stick. And my whole point is, why aren't we trying the carrot first? Let's work together and get this. Let's reach out and say, look, let's both sign on the dotted line here, and let's agree to manage them together this year, and let's make it happen. So,
okay.
Again, right. Probably naive, but...
No, thanks for the comments.
Mr. Carpenter.
Brian, if I may, just having done, having participated in North of Falcon a few times, it's a very, very difficult process because we're not dealing with just one entity. We're dealing with 20-plus entities,
sure,
in the way of sovereign tribes, and they don't necessarily always have the same template of what they believe in. But your points are very, very, very well taken. The one thing I would encourage you to do would plan on attending some of the North of Falcon meetings in 2017, because there's a lot to learn. There's a lot of people to meet and build relationships with, and I would encourage you to do it. You got a lot of thought into this, so thanks for coming.
Okay, thanks.
Chair, I have one topic to talk about just for a couple minutes here, and that's one of the statements that Pat has made. His testimony was for consideration of a change or an addition to the North of Falcon policy, and he says in his handout here, when in-season management actions are taken, they will be implemented in a manner that is consistent with pre-season conservation and harvest management objectives and the fishery intent developed through the North of Falcon process. And he suggested adding, and I'd like to enter this for the record and as a possible addition to the new North of Falcon policy, and he states, by adding the following, prior to use, in-season updates of stock abundance affecting Puget Sound fisheries will be evaluated for technical merit and the potential to improve achievement of conservation and allocation objectives. In-season updates will be documented during the pre-season planning process within the co-manager's annual list of agreed fisheries or as part of the regional co-manager MOUs.
Done. Any other?
I guess since we got Kyle back up, are there, you said that you've only made one revision to the current policy. Are there other things that staff would find helpful in terms of revisions?
Nothing that comes to mind.
You can get too specific and tell us to do things that we can never accomplish. But nothing has come to mind, nothing that you could add that would have helped us get through last year any better than we did.
Well, thank you, Kyle, and stay where you are, because that concludes item number 7.